Again, it always amazes me as we go through these different services how the Lord impresses certain topics on our hearts. And I feel like we haven't covered all of the points that I'm going to cover today, but we have definitely covered a number of the passages. We're going to take a look at Romans chapter 3, and let's look at verse 23. It says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." Our God and Father, we come into your holy presence this morning, and we thank you for our Lord Jesus Christ. We have just spent the last hour worshiping what you have done in our lives. And Father, we have the task of going into the world and preaching the gospel. And one thing that the world has a hard time understanding is that they're sinners and how contrary that is to your holiness. Pray that as we spend a few moments here that, again, it would be good for us to reflect on these realities you have shared with us in your word, but more so that it would also give us encouragement to want to go out and share with those out in the world that are without you. Pray that you would take the thoughts of my heart and just be able to impart them to the beloved saints here. We pray these things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, as you may have remembered, when we had our last equipping for evangelism, I gave you four boxes. And if you recall, the first box I called Sin, Romans 3:23. The second box I called Wages of Sin is Death, Romans 6:23. But then we talked about God's love. We read it this morning, Romans chapter 5, verse 8. And then, of course, John 3:16, you have to believe. Everybody has to realize that they are a sinner. The result of being a sinner is that you must die. But God took that punishment on himself. But it does you no good unless you believe. And that's for me what has boiled down to my basic presentation of the gospel. And it's one that I'm helping to present to our consideration. What I'd like to do for these two sessions this morning is the first one, we'll spend a few minutes looking at that first box, sin. 11 o'clock, we're going to go ahead and take care of looking at the box, death. Death. Well, we find here again in Romans chapter 3, verse 23, that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ is the only one that was sinless in this world. All of us, all of humanity is born into sin, and we're all actors of it. And yet, as I spend a little bit of time thinking about evangelism, I find that this is perhaps the most complicated concept to get across to someone in the world. So many people, when you confront them with sin, they'll do the head nod, and that's as far as you seem to get. And so I'd like to take just a couple minutes and share with you a couple illustrations that maybe can help us fuel our communication to others, that sin is something that is very important for us to consider. And a sinner that does not understand that they are sinful will never be to the point where they need a savior. And so it's a critical point, and I'd like to just deal with that a little bit. The outline that I'll handle here in just the few minutes we have left is, first, what is sin? Secondly, how is it measured? And three, how did this come about? So the first one, I give the illustration this way. There are several different words that we can use when we want to talk about sin. The word sin is something that we're comfortable with because we're constantly teaching it. But what I'm discovering is those in the world, it kind of goes over their head. They don't understand. So let's give a simple definition, and the definition that I've given for years and someone introduced me to, and I love it, is going back into the 1600s, or maybe earlier in England and Europe, they loved to use the bow and arrow to show their prowess and their skill and their greatness. And so usually a knight would have a page with him. And of course, they didn't have binoculars. You don't have the gun sighting to say, oh, you were 2 inches high. What they did is they would send the page down towards where the target was set up. And he would stand to the side out of the way so he wouldn't be hit. And the knights would sit there and they would pull back and they'd fire their arrows down to the range and where the target is. And of course, they couldn't see for very clearly. And all of a sudden, they would hear a report back from the page telling how they were. And if they missed the bullseye, if they missed the target, the page would lean around the tree or whatever object was protecting him, and he would call back, "Sinner!" I never realized that was maybe some of the background. Maybe it's a little urban legend, I don't know, but it's perfect. It's perfect. Because that's exactly what sin is. Sin is shooting at some mark and missing it. Now, when it comes to God, we're going to see in a couple of minutes, we don't even get close to the target, let alone getting it in the red or the yellow or whatever. And we most assuredly don't hit it in the middle. And so as we live our lives, I'm so glad that there's not a page out there watching me live, because he would be all day going, "Sinner, sinner," because I can't meet the standard. So that's point number one. What is sin? Sin is missing some mark. Number two, how is it measured? This is, I think, the key when we are thinking about evangelism and communicating with the world. The world does not really want to spend time recognizing that there's a God. And so what do they do when they look at performance such as sin is, well, I'm not as bad as Steve. I mean, you know, did you hear what he did this week? I'm not as bad. And I start measuring myself based on a fellow brother. Or we have all these shootings. I'm certainly not as bad as one of those murderers. Or we have all these fraud cases. I don't steal money like that. I'm not very bad. I'm pretty good, actually. You know, I treat my neighbors nicely and all these kinds of things. And so we end up measuring against each other. But brothers and sisters, what the world needs to understand, doesn't matter what we do. It all matters about measuring up to God. So I have a little visual. I have this nice little box here. And some of you will recognize what this is. Anybody know what that is? I'll come down here for a second so you can see it. A prism, okay? It's a piece of well-cut glass with three sides on it, and we call this a prism. You see, a prism is something that helps us to understand the quality of light. So let me talk about the quality of light a little bit. We don't have the right set up here for me to really be able to do it. You know, we might be able to play a little bit after with these lights. Ruth and I were enjoying the sun yesterday, just the rainbow that showed up on the floor. Because you see, light is energy, and energy is vibration of particles. And what we find out, you look up at the sun and you go, wow, that is bright, and that has got to be the whitest light I've ever seen. And then you run it through a prism, and you will find out that it has a huge spectrum of light involved with it. Our eyes can only see so much light. In other words, we can see reds and yellows and greens and blues and purples. The prism sits there and splits the light that the sun gives into all of its colors. I can see the red, but I can't see the frequencies of color that are below the red. And I can see the purple on the other end, but I can't see the frequencies on the other end. The point is, the light from the sun is not pure. Now, physics-wise, this blows my mind, that you can have 10 billion colors, mix them all up, they come out white. Doesn't make any sense to me. But a prism will show what the light looks like. If you do it right, you could go ahead and get a flashlight, and you could get the same results. You'd find out that there are a whole bunch of frequencies that are made up in the light that comes from a flashlight. These lights up here, we would be able to see colors show up. But there's one light. I think some of you have had LASIK surgery. A LASIK surgery uses a laser, and the science world calls the laser a pristine piece of light. And so if you shine a piece of laser through a prism, it will come out as white. And it's because when they generate the light, they are selecting just certain frequencies that are really intense in that one area. But guess what? The laser still isn't pure. The sun gives us light by giving us wavelengths of energy as far as we can figure. And a laser goes ahead and it brings it down like this. But now if we take the illustration to take a look at God, guess what? God is singular in his holiness. He has no variation in his character. God cannot lie. God cannot cheat. God will always make a moral decision. God is always ethical. We could look at many of his other attributes, but as Lauren has brought to us messages several times, we call this holiness. And in God, there is no darkness. There is no evil. That's what we get measured against. Not each other. We get measured against God. So suddenly, if we were able to shine God through this, we wouldn't be able to look. It would be so brilliant and pure that I'm sure my eyes would be burned. But then I go ahead and I stand in front of the prism and I have my color show. I am so dirty and filthy. And so when we're looking at evangelism, understand what sin is. It's missing the mark. It's missing the bullseye. But the world fails to understand what the measure is. It's not us. It's God. And God is absolutely holy. Well then, my goodness, what do we do when we're faced with that reality? There's no hope. There's no hope. I mean, we are just sinful. If you are working with somebody and they're having a hard time understanding the concepts of sin, maybe they don't break the speed limit. Maybe they don't steal. Maybe they aren't immoral. Maybe they're not playing around with sexual desires and whatnot. They're still sinners. There's a failure of us in our very being that puts us at odds with the measure, which is the brilliance of God's light. I think of sometimes asking the question, God's word in the Shema in Deuteronomy chapter 6, tells us that we're to love the Lord our God with all our heart, with all our mind. We're supposed to do a number of different things. Ask all of us and the world, do you love God? Most of them don't even acknowledge he exists. He is the creator. He's the one that made you. And you're not willing to, you've just sinned. You have disregarded the uncaused cause of the universe that is the one that made you, and he deserves all glory. You are the one that has sinned against him. And sin is something that he cannot tolerate in his presence. For our third point, let's take a couple minutes to think through this. How did this all come about? How did this all come about? I don't know if you've ever wrestled with that question, but bear with me as I take just a couple minutes to articulate some of the thoughts that have been coming into my heart. You know, I recognize the eternality of God. Right off the bat, Steve Grimberg and I would have these discussions. We'd sound like a circuit box, a breaker box, and we'd be going, pff, pff. You can't understand it. I have some understanding of me starting, because I'm here. And I have some concept of eternity in the future, because I've got being, and I can take that. I can't fathom never having a beginning. And yet God was uncaused. He's, as I see, he's the only uncaused cause in the universe. And he is holy. There is nothing evil about his character. And so this God that obviously didn't need anything because he's been for eternity doing just fine as the Trinity, it entered into the counsel and the will of Almighty God that he wanted to create a heavens and an earth and to populate the heavens with angels, and to populate the earth with human beings, two sentient beings. And he made the world perfect. Then he did something that was really mind-boggling. He made it perfect, but he allowed sin to come in. Now I sit there and ponder, what is going on? I believe the heaven and the earth are God's testing place. I think this is a testing field by God, and follow me through this thought. Adam and Eve were in the Garden of Eden, and they were encouraged to eat of all the fruit, all the trees in the garden, except that one tree, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So God put them to a test. Maybe in my way of saying, the test was, am I sufficient? Are you going to trust and believe me? Or are you going to disobey me and venture out on your own? Of course, Satan came into the picture. He'd already made his decision. We're going to hear a little bit about him at 11 o'clock. He already made his decision, and he came and he tempted Eve. And Adam followed, and they turned their backs on God. And God tells us that that rebellion results in death. And so death has now passed on to all of humanity. What on earth is going on? Well, here's the beauty of it. What kind of creation would we have? What kind of creation would God have if he made everything a robot? If he made everything a robot, do you think that there would be satisfaction of one of his created robots praising him for who he is because that's what they were made to do? And I sit there with wonder and I go, wow. I can get teared up just on this. Because God created sentient beings, gave them free will. Gave them free will. And the question is, do you want to worship me, God? Or do you want to head out on your own? Maybe a simpler way, would you like to spend eternity with God? On our faces, praising and worshiping him, because that's what he's due. He's the uncaused cause of the universe. He deserves it all. So here on this planet Earth, as far as I can determine, some 6,000 years old, he has been testing individual after individual after individual. testing whether they want to spend eternity with him. One thing we'll take a look at again at 11 o'clock, if it is timely, we are faced with this question: how come the sin of Adam and Eve is being added to me? Well, maybe that's a rightful question, but God did one thing. He sent his Son into the world to pay for the sins of the whole world. God, in effect, has taken the sin issue off the table. And so today, in the same way that he met with Abraham, and as we talked about Moses and Elijah and David and Samuel, these different ones throughout the Old Testament and the New Testament, it always comes down to the question, do you want to spend eternity with me? If you do, believe what I say, and it will be counted to you as righteousness. The world does not understand, in general terms, what sin is. And it's a tall order for us, with the help of the Holy Spirit, to be able to communicate that to the world, because again, they don't understand yet what is at stake. It's eternity that is at stake at this point. That's why when we come to the table each Sunday, what rejoicing! What rejoicing! Because our God has borne the punishment of our sins on the cross in my place, and I received it simply because, God, I believe that what you tell us is true. Guess what? He makes me righteous. Makes me righteous. Makes me a son of God. Makes me an ambassador. So may we be encouraged. Sin is hideously ugly when viewed from the perspective of God. He cannot tolerate sin, but he put it on his Son. We have everlasting life because we believe the message. We believe that God has done this work for us. Our God and Father, what sobering thoughts to think of our total wretchedness. If we look at the prism, we would find out that we are just hideously dirty in our light because we are sinners. We fall short of the glory of God. And in that, you cannot tolerate sin in any way, shape, or form. And yet, what a wonder that you put our sins upon the Lord Jesus Christ. You paid the penalty for our sins by sacrificing him. And now all you are asking for is that we believe this message and you will count it to us as righteousness. Help us as we go out into the world and share with people that we would be encouraged. We pray for those divine appointments. May there be opportunities where there will be those that we will witness come to know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Pray these things now in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.